The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Corporate radio ownership across America have banded together
in the never-ending fight against the leftist media.
Thousands of hate talkers across the dial
is what the listening public demands.
Conservative media will always be there to crush the might of the leftist media. That is to say, all three progressive shows that remain on the air.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Hello.
And now it's time for the one woman that terrestrial right-wing radio fears
no,
the most.
No, no, they
not
don't.
To mention satellite.
No, no,
it's
not
the
at all.
Nicole Sandler yeah. Show.
You had me up until the very end. Nobody fears me, nor should they. But, you know, point received. Welcome to a Wednesday. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com. The show is live at this point still at 3 p.m. Eastern. That's when you can find us at NicoleSandler.com and on YouTube, on our TuneIn channel. And then throughout the day, it is rebroadcast in various other places from, of course, the Progressive Voices Network at 5 Eastern. We're also on Netroots Radio, FYI Nation, Air Progressive, and a few other outlets out there. And of course, you can always get the podcast wherever you get your podcasts or from NicoleSandler.com, however you choose to do it. I just appreciate you listening. I hope you got to hear yesterday's show with a really, I thought, informative discussion about Israel and the settlements and Gaza and the politics of the area and why it is okay to criticize Israel, and just criticizing Israel doesn't make you anti-Semitic. But oh my God, what a difference 24 hours can bring. Somebody, Dwayne Nickerson, is saying Trump is live on TV now. He's in Kentucky speaking to some veterans group and joking about staying in office for 14 years or some nonsense like that. We'll get to some of what Trump said today. He did a 35-minute shout over the helicopter noise presser today. I don't know what to call them. They're not actually press conferences. They're shout over the helicopters at the press so he can pretend not to hear what he doesn't want to answer. Right. We'll get to that. Today is going to be a little bit of everything because I have this feeling that we're in one of those moments. I know I said this a couple of weeks ago with Howie Klein. I get the feeling like something's got to give. Something is about to break. Trump seems to be getting more and more unstable by the moment. In fact, and we will get to today's comedy coming up. I'm just going to set it up a little bit for you because I believe we have entered even new, crazier territory. I believe we are long past the time to bring back, seriously, the idea of invoking the 25th Amendment. Donald Trump is off his fucking rocker. On Tuesday... Yesterday, Trump questioned the loyalty of Jews who voted for Democrats. Seriously, where's the thing? He said, do I have it here? Here, this.
In my opinion, you vote for a Democrat, you're being very disloyal to Jewish people, and you're being very disloyal to Israel. And only weak people would say anything other than that.
Yeah, okay. That was actually his comment today, clarifying what he said yesterday when he talked about, being disloyal, American Jews being disloyal if they vote Democrat. I don't know if it was yesterday. I guess it was this morning. He went on a twit storm this morning and he retweeted quotes from a guy, I'd never heard of him before. His name is Wayne Allen Root. Apparently he's a commentator on Newsmax, which is another Fox wannabe. And this guy has promoted anti-Semitic and racist conspiracy theories against everyone. And so Dump retweets him saying, he says, thank you to Wayne Allen Root for the very nice words. And then he retweeted what the idiot said. President Trump is the greatest president for Jews and for Israel in the history of the world, not just America. He is the best president for Israel in the history of the world. And the Jewish people in Israel love him like he's the king of Israel. They love him like he's the second coming of God. I'm not even going to get into it. Even I know that Jews are not waiting for the second coming. They're waiting for the first. Just saying. No Messiah has come yet. But here's this idiot retweeting another idiot saying that he's like the greatest president for the Jews and he's the king of Israel. And it's like, what? The Jewish people in Israel love him like he's the king of Israel. They love him like he is the second coming of God. All right. So if that wasn't bad enough, Donald Trump goes out today to do one of his shout over the helicopter noise, press avails. And he looks up at the sky and says,
I am the chosen one.
Okay. If you need to hear that again louder.
I am the chosen one.
He looked up at the sky and said, I am the chosen one. Now, in this instance, he was talking about it with regard to China. And he's the chosen one to initiate a trade war with China and tank our entire economy. I guess that's what he means. But anyway, yes. So think it through. And the YouTube chat room says, Trump went a step beyond megalomaniac today. He did. And so, again, I believe it is time to, go through the impeachment process because he needs to be held legally accountable and the American people need to be made aware of all he's done. But at the same time, because they can walk and chew gum at the same time, I believe, Congress needs to start the wheels in motion towards the 25th Amendment. Now, I don't have anything new to share with you today because, frankly, Randy Rainbow, who, by the way, was profiled on CNN in a wonderful piece, hasn't done a song in about 3 weeks. So we should have a new one any day now. But I thought today is calling for Randy Rainbow magnitude of comedy. And so there were a number of Randy Rainbow videos in the archives about his tweeting. But you know what? The one that fits the occasion today the best is this one. It's the very stable genius one. Take it away, Randy Rainbow.
Meeting with President Putin on Monday. We will, of course, ask your favorite question about meddling. I will be asking that question again. You know, what am I going to do? He may deny it. I mean, it's one of those things. So all I can do is say, did you, and don't do it again. But he may deny. I mean, well, you'll be the first to know. I'm very consistent. I'm a very stable genius. We still have to figure out what's going on with him.
He is the very model of a very stable genius. Of all the U.S. presidents, he is the Mussoliniest. He learned a lot of things according to his Wikipedia and demonstrates his ample intellect on social media. When people are in need, he is the best at making fun of them. He knows 11 words, although he can't spell even one of them. An overly flamboyant, orange, autocratic, scuzzy man who's undermining everything Obama did because he can.
He's undermining everything Obama did because he can. He's undermining everything Obama did because he can. He's overly flamboyant and an autocratic, scuzzy, orange man.
I'm a very stable genius.
He's firmly resolute, but how he thinks and feels and talks depends on any of the crap he may have heard that day on Fox and Friends. And though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
I am doing a great job, that I can tell you.
He's very good at pushing all the bullshit that he's peddling, but won't concern himself with matters such as Russian meddling. His campaign manager's in jail on charges that are felony, and no one really cares about him less than his wife, Melanie. Sorry, Mulaney.
Malaria.
He's really great with children when it comes to immigration. He thinks he's making progress with denuclearization. He's only hated from Seattle to the Carolinas and likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas.
He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas. He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas. He likes to greet his lady friends by grabbing their vaginas.
Queen Elizabeth did not see that coming. He's certainly proficient at hijacking an election. At NATO, he is not afraid of not taking direction. Aside from all his ignorance, the chaos and sapenius, he is the very model of a very stable genius.
I would would say the highest level of special.
He's always been a pro at things like violating protocols and reproducing other egotistical Neanderthals. To all our greatest allies, he decides to say get out of here while doing all he can to satisfy his daddy Vladimir. There's no one as accomplished in the art of the distraction. Of anything that's factual, he orders a retraction. When greeting foreign leaders, he prefers the pomp and circumstance than vomits verbal diarrhea to satisfy his sycophants. There never was a military draft he couldn't dodge, and he is excellent at advocating racist and misogyny. He likes to make up stories with convenience exclusion of topics that he finds make him feel threatened like collusion. He expertly persuades his base that Mueller's hunting for a witch instead of their own president, who's obviously Putin's bitch. He calls reporters fake and says the Democrats are sour grapes, then lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes.
He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes. He lies awake at night and thinks about those Russian pee-pee tapes.
Oh, never has there been a stable genius as smart as he. And if you don't believe me, you can just ask Sarah Huckabee. And though his brain is smaller than his tiny little penis, he is the very model of a very stable genius. Whatever, girl.
Whatever, girl. I think my favorite line was about the, you know, the very small penis. He had an extra syllable on the penis, and it rhymed with genius. Randy Rainbow is a genius, and as I was just telling the people in the YouTube chat room, somebody said he deserves a special Tony Award. Actually, Randy Rainbow has been nominated for an Emmy. Yeah, the Emmys that I believe happen, I don't know when they hand them out. I want to say in like February or March. But he is nominated for a 2019 Primetime Emmy in the category of Outstanding Short Form Variety Series. So, and who's he up under against? He's against Billy on the Street at Funny or Die, Carpool Karaoke, the series. Ooh, that's tough. Gay of Thrones from Funny or Die, Honest Trailers from YouTube, and the Randy Rainbow Show, also on YouTube. I really hope Randy Rainbow wins, because that was awesome. Yeah, you know, I get impatient that there's not a new Randy Rainbow video out, but there's a huge library that can get us through it. But he is a very stable genius, I believe. Anyway, the awesome Randy Rainbow. Find him on YouTube and at a theater near you, because he's still doing his live tour. In fact, I know he's going to be back in South Florida in October. David and I went to see him last year when he was up here in Fort Lauderdale. He's going to be down in Miami, but just great stuff. And I'm stalling. Can you tell? Because I really don't want to get to the news of the day, because it is fucking insane. The president of the United States is certifiable. Seriously certifiable. A reporter from the LA Times just tweeted, Donald Trump is at a veterans conference in Kentucky, and he's joking about whether he would be allowed to give himself the Medal of Honor. Seriously, I can't even. All right. You know what? I'm going to play for you What's News, and then we're going to get Dave Johnson on the line. Dave Johnson, a regular guest of the show who hasn't been here in a while because, frankly, we've been so busy. But Dave Johnson is along today. He's just back from a vacation to the UK, and I'm always curious as to the reaction that Americans get when they travel around the rest of the world to the insanity that's happening here in the U.S. So we'll talk to Dave Johnson about that. We also know that Dave was at Woodstock 50 years ago. He's old. We won't go there, but you know. So he actually was standing right up front for Jimi Hendrix. So we'll find out a little bit about that, and you know, we'll see what else you know the day brings us. But before we get to Dave Johnson live, we're gonna do What's News, the recorded version, because we can. Take it away, Nicole.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Ugh, he did it again. Donald Trump continues gaslighting America about virtually everything. For example, on August 9th, just days after two mass shootings, in El Paso and Dayton, Donald Trump once again said he was in favor of comprehensive background check legislation and voiced disagreement with the NRA.
Look, the NRA has over the years taken a very, very tough stance on everything. And I understand it. You know, it's a slippery slope. They think you approve one thing and that leads to a lot of bad things. I don't agree with that.
But after Trump talked with NRA boss Wayne LaPierre on Tuesday, he retreated on gun control measures he said he'd support in the wake of the latest mass killings. After the call, Trump reverted to spouting NRA talking points and warned of radical steps he said Democrats wanted to take against the Second Amendment.
You know, they call it the slippery slope. And all of a sudden, everything gets taken away. We're not going to let that happen. We are very strong in our Second Amendment. The Democrats are not strong at all in the Second Amendment. I would say they're weak on the Second Amendment. And we have to be careful of that. The Democrats would, I think they'd give up the Second Amendment. And the people that, a lot of the people that put me where I am are strong believers in the Second Amendment. And I am also. And we have to be very careful about that.
Trump on Tuesday canceled an official state visit to Denmark, scheduled for early September, after its prime minister rebuffed his interest in buying Greenland. I couldn't make this stuff up if I tried. On Monday, Trump asserted,
strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner, I can tell you that.
But on Tuesday, after Denmark's Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen told a local newspaper that the idea was, quote, an absurd discussion, Greenland is not for sale, Greenland is not Danish, Greenland belongs to Greenland, well, Trump responded with a tweet, quote, Denmark is a very special country with incredible people, but based on Prime Minister Mette Frederiksen's comments that she would have no interest in discussing the purchase of Greenland, I will be postponing our meeting, scheduled in 2 weeks, for another time. The Prime Minister was able to save a great deal of expense and effort for both the United States and Denmark by being so direct. I thank her for that and look forward to rescheduling sometime in the future. Trump on Monday also tweeted a mock composite photo of a high-rise Trump Tower overlooking the sea along Greenland's coast with the comment, I promise not to do this to Greenland. There are no words. Continuing his descent down the rabbit hole, Trump on Tuesday railed at Jewish Americans who vote for Democrats. Seriously. After repeating his attacks on Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar, he went here.
I think any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty.
In Israel, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu declined to comment. In the U.S., Jewish groups J Street and the American Jewish Committee were part of a chorus that denounced Trump's remarks. Meanwhile, Trump keeps denying that the U.S. is headed toward a recession. The Washington Post reporting Monday that the White House was considering pushing for a payroll tax cut to juice the economy, but the administration pushed back, saying that that wasn't under serious consideration.
Is a payroll tax cut being considered?
It's not being considered at this time.
Cue Trump, who contradicted him. I think it's hard to figure out exactly what he's trying to say here.
Payroll taxes. I've been thinking about payroll taxes for a long time. Whether or not we do it now or not is, it's not being done because of recession, because we are legitimately, if we had a cut in interest rates by the Fed, if they would do their job properly, and if they would do a meaningful cut because they raised too fast, you would see growth like you've not seen ever in this country.
Oy, from the ridiculous to the sublime, you think the administration's treatment of migrants in the U.S. is reprehensible? Well, get ready for it to get even worse. The administration is expected to announce as early as Wednesday that it's moving forward with new rules that would allow migrant families to be detained beyond the current 20-day limit for holding children. The decision would replace the so-called Flores Agreement, which not only limits the detention time of a minor to 20 days, but also outlines minimum standards of care for immigrants in detention centers. Speaking of minimum standards of care, U.S. Customs and Border Protection has confirmed that it will not vaccinate detained migrants against the flu, even though 3 children who'd been in custody died after contracting the flu, and last year alone, 423 detainees did contract the flu. And finally, what did you expect? Donald Trump has filed financial disclosure statements that appear to misstate the value and profitability of his Scotland golf courses by $165 million. Yes, it is a possible violation of federal laws, punishable by jail time. I got the And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported. That means I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Just click on the donate button.
Olson Johnson is right. I say we stay and fight it out.
Dr. Samuel Johnson's right about Olson Johnson's being right. And I'm not giving up my ice cream parlor that I built with these two hands for nothing or nobody.
Howard Johnson is right.
The latest in a long line of Johnsons who were right. Correct. It's Dave Johnson on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Well, it's been a while since Dave Johnson has been with us. I know he's spent the last few weeks over in the UK vacationing like the coastal elites do, but we're thrilled to have him back. Hey, Dave Johnson.
Hey, I'm coastal elite, but also my mother, my wife's mother is in Bromley.
Ah.
So.
Oh, so that's why you were there. So you spent basically the last 3 weeks over in the UK,
yep.
Right? I'm always curious when people who live abroad realize that they have an American in their midst, what kind of reaction you get, what they say about Donald Trump?
Oh, well, one thing that happened was if you try to explain the Republican Party, the current Republican Party to anybody over there, they think you're crazy. I mean, why would somebody say such things about people? They can't be like that. That's one of the reactions to Trump. Everybody thinks it's crazy. They laugh about Boris Johnson, but
do they? Because that was going to be my next question.
They're horrified about Trump.
Right, because that was going to be my next question. Because Boris Johnson is about as close as the Brits could get to having their own Donald Trump.
Boris Johnson was elected to a seat in Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
He wasn't elected by 100% either.
No,
I'm not sure of the exact numbers, but so imagine that if the entirety of the election for president considered was one seat in Congress here somewhere, and then that person becomes president,
right?
Then that's the situation over there. Essentially,
wow.
What's happened is that it's called the Tory Party. It's the Conservative Party.
Right.
You know, Margaret Thatcher.
Yep.
Theresa May, etc. So the party, after the whole Brexit thing, Theresa May ends up resigning, and so the party voted to have Boris Johnson take over for all kinds of reasons that we don't need to go into, but that is why Boris Johnson is the Prime Minister of England, because that's their system as the head of a party. If the party is the current party that has the working majority coalition in the House of Parliament, then the head of that party becomes the Prime Minister.
Okay.
And names the cabinet. And then he has, you know, the Queen says okay and all of this. So
right.
That's why Boris Johnson's there. So
and
it's
we
not
have...
even like it's not even like how Hillary Clinton actually won the election
right.
here.
I was gonna say
and Gore. And
right.
Gore by the
and
way.
And Gore.
And
right.
then they put someone else in.
Right.
It's that nobody voted for him except, like, you know, a few people.
Right. But they're stuck with it. And are most people you talk to okay with it? I've got a listener who sent me a lovely a package the other day and a donation and the note that she is actually moving to the UK. She is getting out of Trump country. But I wonder if she's not, you know, turning in one shit show for another, because the UK going into Brexit right now, there's no deal. So they're talking about a no deal Brexit, which means they have no trade policy set up with any other countries. And that portends disaster. And they got Johnson. I mean, he's almost as bad as Trump.
Yeah, well, I'll confess, we looked at a few houses while
Did
we
you?
Were there, too.
Mm-hmm. But I don't blame you.
But Brexit. Brexit is kind of this bizarre thing that's kind of being hoisted on people there. It's really complicated why they continue with this, but there was this vote. Everything about the vote was misrepresented. Cambridge Analytica and other players got involved. A bunch of Trump-associated people got involved. Russia got involved. Mm-hmm. Big money was behind the Brexit. The whole thing, okay? Then they had this election. Nobody believed Brexit could actually win that election. Right. The guy Cameron, who the current prime minister, put out the election just to get these people off his back, essentially believing it would fail.
Right.
Well, people didn't believe it would happen, so a lot of people didn't vote, and it happened.
Well, and there's parallels, because nobody believed Donald Trump could get elected here, and so many of them stayed home because they didn't want to have to hold their nose and vote for Hillary Clinton. Well, fuck you very much to the people who felt that way.
This will sound familiar.
Yeah?
One of the reasons that a lot of politicians are going along with it now is they feel that, including some of Labor, okay, they feel that, well, these are districts that voted for Brexit. Therefore, we can't go against, you know, because then we'll lose our seat in Parliament. You know, it's the same thing here where they call certain districts red districts. And so they say we have to be, you know, like right-wingers in order to win in that district, ignoring that there's plenty of non-right-wingers in the district who would come out and vote finally if they had an alternative.
But yep.
Same thing, same arguments, same everything. But what part of what's going on over there, and this is significant, is that there's a split in the big money people, okay? There's the responsible business types who understand that they need stability, they need a system of laws, the whole thing. And then there's the oligarchs, the speculators, the harsh capitalist types, and they want chaos. They want a trade deal with the U.S. that essentially makes the National Health Service they have there illegal.
Oh, no.
They want to get rid of all these trade deals so they can make trade deals that benefit the rich, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the big money that was behind Brexit. And so they want chaos. Does this sound familiar, too?
Yeah.
The oligarch types. They want to be sure that they're not. See, part of what's going on, Europe was starting to clamp down on secret bank accounts for tax avoidance and such. They were starting to make the big companies pay taxes. They're starting to break up companies for antitrust and all of that. And all of a sudden, England's got to get out of the EU. So we're seeing these same forces at work, as is happening around the world. And then they used the threat. They were saying, well, we have to get out of the EU because the Islamists are going to overrun us. And they had these ads showing, you know, the same kind of thing where we see the caravan, the exact same ads almost, some of the same photos, et cetera. They were using the Syrian refugee crisis to cause Brexit.
Right.
Because of, and you know, the racist thing and everything. But also, part of what was happening was that the cheap labor in the Eastern Europe, okay, the former Soviet parts of Europe had really cheap labor, and companies were moving their factories over there to the cheap labor, and people were having trouble finding jobs. And meanwhile, the government was using austerity, cutting back social services, et cetera, and privatization to cut back social services and hurt people and cut back on the healthcare system and all of that. So people rebelled against the austerity. If this doesn't sound familiar, they rebelled against big companies moving jobs out of the country and austerity. And then the propaganda about brown-skinned foreigners are going to come take over your country and voted for Brexit.
Right.
Sound familiar?
It sounds very familiar. Right. That's
very
why.
Familiar. Yeah. And Cambridge Analytica, by the way, was the data firm involved.
Huh. That's
same
interesting too. Yeah. So Dave Johnson. All right. So things are crazy over there. I think, it's sort of a microcosm of what's happening over here. I don't know if I were, you know, seriously looking to escape. And if I was in better financial shape, I might be. I don't know that England would be the place I'd be running to right now, just saying.
Well,
that said,
there's Canada, but it's cold.
There's Canada, but it's cold. That's an issue, too. All right, but here we are. We're in the United States, and this president, just when you thought he couldn't get any more insane, he pulls this, you know, King of Israel shit and says, I am the chosen one. I mean, when I heard that.
I heard that. I was listening to the radio while I was driving.
I am the chosen one.
You know
one.
What? Everywhere I go today, the words batshit crazy seem
yes.
to be coming up a lot. Is something going on in the news?
Yep. Every day since Donald Trump was elected, it is batshit crazy time. Or opposite world, however you want to look at it. I mean, it's one thing after another. It just goes on and on and on. And frankly,
did you hear him talking about Putin? Oh, my God. He said, oh, well, no, the reason he was kicked out of the G8, reason they kicked Russia out was because Putin outsmarted
Obama
and took
right.
over Crimea. And so Obama was upset, so he made them get rid of Putin out of the G8. So it's time to put him back.
Oh, God.
So it wasn't the invasion of Crimea. The invasion of, and the attacks on Ukraine and all of that. No, it wasn't that.
Right.
It was that Obama was upset because Putin outsmarted Obama by invading Crimea.
And
so
because
Putin's this good guy.
This is
He's
how Donald
smart.
Trump thinks, though, because he thinks in terms of personal vendettas about any world leader who dares to, you know, upstage me or show me up, which anyone he goes up against will. Just like, you know, his smear on the Prime Minister of Denmark. By saying she's nasty. That's his that's his default insult for any woman. Nasty. It's like, you know what? Oh my God, what a sexist fucking pig. And the thing is, he's really fucking that relationship up because she's another anti-immigration leader. And they could have bonded over their their dual xenophobia.
Yeah. Huh. But what are we going to do? I mean, they won't impeach him, right? Pelosi won't let them impeach him. Here we are. Is it too late? I have a question now. Is it too late to impeach him?
It is not.
The guy controls half the courts now and stuff.
Right,
is it too late? Is it the end?
No.
Is it too late yet?
No. And here's my reasoning. And I talk about this a lot. Impeachment is what happens in the House. And impeachment are the hearings. And the televised spectacle and the thing where everybody in the nation is tuned in and paying attention. It is the hearings.
Yep.
That's what the impeachment is. He will be impeached. Hold on. Let me just get this out. Just by the exercise of having these hearings. After the House impeaches him, then it goes to the Senate for the Senate to decide whether or not they're going to convict. Now, we know what the makeup of the Senate is. It's run by a majority of Republicans. They need 67 to convict. This Senate will not convict him, but I say it doesn't matter. He will be convicted in the court of public opinion once the American people are subject to these hearings every day when they are told exactly in full detail what he has done to this country, because they're not hearing it on Fox.
Yep.
So that's why I think there needs to be an impeachment. He will be impeached.
Well,
he may not be convicted.
It's also what Elizabeth Warren said about it.
Yeah.
She said that when it goes to the Senate, those individual senators then have to live with their vote.
That's right.
And that's important. That actually has meaning in this one, because their vote will be public. Their children will say, what did you do, Daddy?
Yep.
Because if Trump stays in, this is not going good places. This is not even going bad places. This is going terrible places, you know? The new one. What was the one yesterday? They won't give flu shots.
Yes.
To the detainees, these
none
people
of them.
That they're holding. In
right.
these camps.
And check this
they
out.
They won't give them flu shots. Now, this is denying their humanity.
You think? And the stats, last year, 423 detainees contracted the flu. And before that, and three children who'd been in U.S. custody died after getting the flu. And they're saying we're not vaccinating any of them.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Right.
Unbelievable that we are just this reprehensible place. I'd be embarrassed to travel on the world stage and tell anybody I came from here.
I did a gig covering. I went to the Carter Center down in Atlanta.
Right.
And I was covering a human rights conference that they hold these different conferences there all the time. And this was a conference on mass atrocities, genocides and such. And the conference was talking about the steps that lead to these things happening. And okay. they had people that had been in all of these different situations. And, oh, my God, the stories. And I don't, oh, I can't get into that. I'll just say that as they went over, they, you know, the conferences, they're trying to find, you know, research and patterns of what to look for when these kinds of things, what tips people over and makes them act this way, where masses of people like in Rwanda or other places will do this to other people. And I keep reflecting back on the things that were said at that thing. And of course, the right-wing talk radio, dehumanizing leadership that creates an other, an enemy by the other,
mm-hmm.
the kind of different characteristics of, in this case, it's their Latino or color or Muslim, you know, those kind of things. And every aspect of that is at work right now, you know. And if you look back several years, listen to Chris Hayes' podcast this week about, he's interviewing one person that got asylum.
Huh.
Instead mm-hmm. of the masses of people, you know, when you're looking at masses of people, it gets hard to have the same emotion as you can get over one person's story. And he's interviewing a guy that got asylum in the United States many years ago under Obama.
Yeah.
Look at the difference in our country now. You know, the frog in boiling water problem, mm-hmm. where it happens slowly over time, so you don't really see the differences. If you hear that podcast and then look at the situation for people now trying to get asylum and the incredible distance we have moved as a country, it's terrifying when you look at it that way. Just over how many years now, 3 years, we've gone completely to where we have literal concentration camps,
yep.
and where people can't even get toothpaste and they're told to drink out of toilets.
Yep. Yep.
The dehumanization involved in that. So, okay, so I'm not sure how this relates to Boris Johnson.
No, nor am I, but we're done with Boris Johnson. You're back, and so we'll deal with the UK another time, because we do have bigger
okay.
problems here. You tweeted out this morning, Dave Johnson is on Twitter, you can follow him at DC Johnson. The DC does not stand for Washington, D.C., it's Dave's initials.
David Courtney.
David Courtney. He's got a girl's middle name. But we won't hold that
my
against him.
My father's name was Courtney, and his father's name was
Courtney.
Oh,
I'm sorry, it's a WASPy name.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. Anyway, so what you
and my
tweeted...
my cousin, Courtney, is a woman. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
there
okay.
you go. All right, so earlier today you tweeted, the discussion shouldn't be about how crazy was the last thing Trump said or did. It should be about what are we going to do about it? How can we hold
really.
Him accountable? How can we protect the country and ourselves? And I got to tell you, I watch the coverage coming out of Hong Kong and seeing hundreds of thousands of people in the streets, if not more.
1.7 million.
Oh, my God. 1.7 million people now in the streets. Why aren't
One
we doing this?
Four people
why
in
aren't
Hong
we
Kong.
Out in the streets? Why aren't we calling? Why isn't somebody calling a national strike? Why aren't we out
exactly.
there every Monday at 1 o'clock for 20 minutes even to make noise? Every Monday, 20 minutes, go out to the closest major intersection and stop the fucking traffic.
Yeah.
But we got to do it.
Well, the average person, this is part of where we have this problem. If you look at polls, if you look at red districts,
yeah.
you see people have certain opinions. But what people don't understand is, I've been saying this, a red district is only a district that has right-wing media dominating.
Mm-hmm.
That the information sources that people have now are dominated for a lot of people. All they get is this right-wing stuff. Most people don't know what's going on. And here's the Green New Deal as an example.
Okay.
They came out with the Green New Deal. They did polls on the idea of the Green New Deal, and it had massive approval. Everybody
yep.
said, God, that's a good idea. God, yep. we need that. Then Fox News started in on it,
mm-hmm.
and the right-wing machine got oil company money and started in on it. And within a month or so, the whole Green New Deal idea swung over to majority disapproval of it.
Wow.
All the polls reflected all the talking points you heard on these right-wing outlets, oil company outlets.
Mm-hmm.
Republican outlets.
Yep.
So here's the problem we have in this country. First of all, I like to say this. I'm getting old, aren't I? I like to say so and so. Yeah. Democracy does not have an advertising budget. Democracy doesn't have a PR firm, okay?
True. Yep. We, the people, don't have lobbyists.
Right. We don't have lobbyists, right. We have a system where the money is able to dominate, and we're not. So there was no counter to that propaganda campaign.
Right.
Or how about this one, that if we get Medicare for all, it means you lose your insurance.
Right. That, which is hysterical.
There's no counter.
No.
Democracy has no counter to that.
There is a counter to it, but the Democrats are inept at countering the right-wing propaganda. Saying that, I wish I could remember, I heard the best analogy about that Medicare bullshit. Saying that Medicare for all, you're against Medicare for all because it'll take away your private health insurance, is like...
It's like saying if you get a heart transplant, you lose your old heart.
Yeah, it's exactly
that's
right.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Really?
Yeah.
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 All of those things. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
But it's tricky. It sounds so bad. Oh my God, I'll lose my insurance.
Right. Do we not have anybody who understands?
You gain healthcare, but you lose your insurance. Come on.
Right. Exactly.
But that's how it works, and that is hit out there, you know, and is propelled by these right wing outlets, and there is no counter to it.
Yep.
There's no counter to this propaganda line about the Green
New
Deal. This is really, really ironic. How long have you and I been talking about this? And
a decade.
Remember, you know I'm going to say it, Air America.
Yes, right.
After so much, somebody finally started setting up Air America, and from that one venture, look how much came out of it, even though
it was run shoddily and shittily
and
corruptly.
And everything, but we got a senator out of it.
Yep.
You know, we got you out of it.
I was here before, but, you know. But I get what you're saying.
Well,
no, you got,
you know what I mean.
I understand.
Rachel Maddow.
Yep, Randy
you
Rhodes.
You know, I mean, how much, just the one effort of putting some money into it. I mean, so, but that's
well,
it.
There
were blogs for a while,
Yep. This is my complaint about Tom Steyer, who is selfishly mounted this presidential quixotic campaign that he says he's going to spend at least $100 million of his own dollars on. Just think how much more effective that money could be if he decided to use it to launch a new progressive media infrastructure, right?
Exactly. But also to fund the existing progressive media infrastructure.
Right.
How much money has gone into research by the Fox News and everything into how to reach regular people and influence them? And, you know, I mean, they have all their think tanks, and they spend their time researching how to word certain things to trick people, you know, obviously focus group tested, you'll lose your insurance if they give you health care. If you get free health care that covers everything, you'll lose your insurance.
Right. Well, you won't need your insurance. I got to say, the attitude of the Democrats is defeatist. If I had to pick one word to describe the Democrats' attitude, it's defeatist. And the perfect example of that is this statement that Jill Biden made the other day. Did you hear this?
I heard it.
I'm going to play it because I haven't played it here.
Oh, good.
But this is everything that's wrong with the Democrats, and Jill Biden's argument of why you need to support her husband is, look, there may be better health care plans out there. There may be candidates you like better, but Joe can win. It's unbelievable.
You know, your candidate might be better on, I don't know, health care than Joe is. But you've got to look at who's going to win this election. And maybe you have to swallow a little bit and say, okay, I personally like so-and-so better. But your bottom line has to be that you have to. Because I know that not all of you are committed to my husband. And I respect that.
All right. You know what? It's too noisy of a clip. But what she said is, you know, the other candidates might have a better health care plan. You might like a different candidate better than Joe. But you got to keep in mind that you need to vote for him because he can beat Donald Trump. Well, you know, that's ridiculous. I want the person who has the best health care plan.
You know what occurred to me about this argument? The argument is that people think that a lot of Americans will only vote for a white male.
Yeah.
Well, the Americans who will, the kind of Americans who will only vote for a white
are
male,
gonna vote
guess
for Trump.
Who they're going to vote for?
Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Yep.
I get a little excited.
I know, as you should. But you know what that reminded me of? This statement from Dump himself. This one just blew my mind.
Let me tell you, if for some reason I wouldn't have won the election, these markets would have crashed.
I love how he's such a, you know, fortune teller.
That'll happen even more so in 2020.
Really? Yeah? Tell us.
See, the bottom line is, I know you like me, and this room is a love fest, I know that. But you have no choice but to vote for me, because your 401ks, down the tubes, everything's going to be down the tubes. So whether you love me or hate me, you got to vote for me.
Well, what kind of bullshit is that? You got to vote for me or your 401k will be, you know, down the tubes. It's going to be, they're going to be down the tubes anyway.
Yeah. The term batshit crazy is coming into my head
yes.
again.
Yes. It's nonstop. So the 25th Amendment, when I heard him, when I saw the clip of him looking up to the sky and saying, I am the chosen one. I said,
yeah.
Yes, okay, go forward with the impeachment, but get on the 25th Amendment right now. Is there anybody in this government who is sane enough to say this man is insane and needs to be removed from office?
Right. For those listening, the 25th Amendment is the amendment by which you can remove. There's a procedure for removing a president if he's batshit crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I think the amendment uses the word batshit crazy.
I think so, too. I have my... Yeah. Copy of the Constitution.
I think that's subclause A, batshit crazy. And
here,
then the subclause
I've got my
B
little pocket
nuts.
Constitution right here. Let's see, 25th
yeah,
Amendment.
It says batshit crazy. Part two is fucking nuts.
Uh-huh.
And what was part three? A corrupt motherfucker.
Right.
This isn't on public radio, is it?
Yeah, it is. The right of the city.
The airwaves. Okay. Did I just get you fined?
I'm not on the public airwaves. We're on the interweb.
I still remember after I was on your show once and I said some things and I called you up and said, hey, I'm sorry if I got you in any trouble. And you said, Dave, have you ever heard my show?
Uh-huh. Right. Exactly.
That was one of my favorites.
Right. Have you ever listened? Let's see. I'm looking for in the 25th Amendment.
It is. Batshit crazy.
Yep. Okay. Whenever the president transmits to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the da 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 his written declaration that he is unable to discharge his powers. Da, 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 da. All right. Okay. Whenever the vice president and majority of either of the principal officers of the executive departments or of such other body as Congress may by law provide, transmit to the president pro tempore of the Senate and the president and the speaker of the House of Representatives a written declaration that the president is unable to discharge the powers and duties of his office or proves that he is batshit crazy, the vice president shall immediately assume the powers and duties of the office as acting president, which is also, I got to say, kind of disturbing thinking that Mike Pence could assume the office of president. But as fucked up and crazy as Mike Pence is, he's completely sane next to Donald Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is scary in itself.
Right. And Pence doesn't have the charisma or the following to get reelected. He would not win an election in 2020.
No.
Would we be better off with Pence in the White House now instead of Trump? Without a doubt.
I don't think Pence would push the button, the nuclear button.
No, I don't think so either.
I'm afraid every day that Trump could just do that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so am I. I mean, I go back to a tweet that I saw from 2012 when he said something like, watch Obama start a war with Iran to win re-election. The frightening thing about that is that that's how he thinks. That
he said about wiping out everybody in Afghanistan the other day.
God. Yeah.
I mean, the guy's got nuclear weapons on his mind.
Yep. Yeah, I'm going to play something for you. It's like a minute and a half long piece. And it was actually done, put together by, you know, we talk about the gaslighting, how Donald Trump will look straight into the camera. I would say look you in the eye, but he doesn't look anybody in the eye. He'll look into the camera and directly contradict what he said the day before. For instance, we said it right at the top with, what was it about? The
20 or 30 things in the last day.
Yeah. So anyway, was it about the
payroll tax?
That's one of them. So MSNBC. MSNBC put together what's called a supercut, just a montage of, boom, you know, lightning fast, him contradicting. So just know you're going to get about 90 seconds of Trump. But it's for a reason, for a purpose. Listen to how he immediately contradicts what he had just said.
Strategically, it's interesting, and we'd be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit.
This is on
It's not number one on the burner,
Greenland.
I can tell you that.
President Trump called off his upcoming trip to Denmark after its prime minister rebuffed his interest in buying Greenland.
Look, the NRA has over the years taken a very, very tough stance on everything, and I understand it. You know, it's a slippery slope. They think you approve one thing, and that leads to a lot of bad things. I don't agree with that.
You know, they call it the slippery slope. And all of a sudden, everything gets taken away. We're not going to let that happen.
Okay, so I'm interrupting, and we'll get back to it. But in the one clip from 2 days ago, he said, oh, they say it's a slippery slope. I'm not buying that. And now he's using the slippery slope talking point because he does believe it. In one day, he changes like that. But wait, there's more.
It's
for a long time.
Donald Trump tweeting, when a country is losing many billions of dollars on trade with every country it does business with, trade wars are good and easy to win.
By the way, I never said China was going to be easy, but it's not tough, and they want to make a deal.
We will be able to immediately repeal and replace Obamacare. Have to do it.
I never said repeal and replace Obamacare. You've all heard my speeches. I never said repeal it and replace it within 64 days. Never.
And yes, we will build the wall. And you're right. Mexico will pay for the wall. When during the campaign, I would say Mexico is going to pay for it. Obviously, I never said this and I never meant they're going to write out a check.
Really?
Special prosecutor. Here we come, right? I win. We're going to appoint a special prosecutor.
President Trump tweeted yesterday morning. He said this, the appointment of the special counsel is totally unconstitutional.
Oy. And you know what? They could have gone on. It probably could have gone on for an hour like that.
Oh, more than that. Hey, did you know that Mexico was going to pay for Greenland?
No, I hadn't heard that one yet. My God. Yeah,
had to throw that in.
He flip flopped on background checks.
The level
right?
of astonishment that we're expressing here is the sign. Oh, you remember how everybody used to say, "Oh my God, don't normalize this."
Yes.
When's the last time you heard somebody even say that?
No, you
this
don't.
Is normalized.
It is normalized.
That this is going on, and there are people in Congress who aren't saying, "Oh my God, we've got to get rid of this guy today."
Right.
It shows how much it's normalized, how much it has slipped, how much that boiling frog, the water is boiling now.
I can't tell you how many. I saw a number of tweets this morning retweeting the I am the chosen one comment with this statement along the lines of Barack Obama wore a tan suit and people lost their shit.
Yeah.
This guy is saying, I'm the chosen one.
We talked earlier about this whole right-wing machine that studies how to reach people and studies what to say and how there's no counter. Well, you got to understand what we're dealing with is a right-wing propaganda machine.
Mm-hmm.
And when they talk about Obama's brown suit, don't give them the credit of thinking they give a shit about Obama's brown suit.
Well, it just shows that we're
these things they say are just, it's like they just say stuff. At any given moment, they will say whatever they feel they need to say to gain a little bit of a propaganda advantage. And as much as we argue logic and facts and say, well, that's not correct, here's the facts about it, and any of that stuff, we're falling into this game of not seeing it for what it is. It's just entirely in bad faith. It's entirely about befuddling the mind and misdirecting people. If you read Sun Tzu, you know, the ancient Chinese general who wrote about how to win battles,
right.
Part of it is, he says, if you can make the enemy run in the other direction, then you can just walk in and get what you want. And this whole idea that we should even give them credit when they give these arguments is misreading what is happening here, because they just say stuff. I mean, you know, they just say stuff.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with any reality, any well-meaning argument, any, oh, well, this is why we should do this, and I sincerely believe, da-da-da. No, they just say stuff. And if you look over at what they're saying, you're not seeing that they got their hand in your wallet. This is con men. This is we got trouble right here in River City. That it's old techniques that we're falling for when we just don't realize that this is nothing but a con being played on us, and we're giving it credibility by even listening to them and not just telling them, get out of here.
Right. Right. And look, it is, I talk about opposite world all the time, and we're there. The fact that Donald Trump is saying, after the thing in Portland last week with the Proud Boys and Antifa, however you want to pronounce it, is anti-fascist. You and I are Antifa. I am. Anti-fascism. We all need to be anti-fascism.
Yes.
The people in the masks may be black bloc protesters, but to say Donald Trump saying that, he wants to have Antifa designated as a terrorist group, it's not even a group. It's an ideology. It's being against fascism, which is what we all should be. This is all opposite world. Nothing makes sense.
And it's in the context of Antifa is confronting a Proud Boys march.
Yep.
It's the same thing. It's like at Charlottesville when the Nazis marched and said, Jews will not replace us. Trump would have said, those protesters against the Nazis, they're terrorists.
Right.
Because that's exactly what he's doing.
Exactly. So, you know, this is, we need to, and the both-siderism of the media, they're trying to not be always critical of Trump, but when it's warranted, that's what you have to do.
Yes.
The man is
Dwight
an unhinged.
D. Eisenhower was the head Antifa
yes.
in World War II.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Oh, Dave Johnson, I just looked at the time, and I don't want the hour to end without talking about how old you are.
Oh my God.
You were at Woodstock?
I was at Woodstock.
Tell us.
I was 15.
Okay.
I hitchhiked. I was 15.
Wow.
I got there the day before. I worked at Woodstock.
What did you do?
I was supposed to be helping put up fences.
Oh God, that's funny.
And I was. But there was no hope getting those fences up. And I stayed the day after, which means I was right down front when Hendrix played.
Now, that's hysterical, because Hendrix was the headliner. I just read a thing recently about how much each artist was paid, and he was the top paid performer at a whopping $18,000. But I guess because of the rain and everything was pushed back so long, he didn't go on until Monday morning. Most people had left.
And he went on Monday morning because he wanted to get paid.
I don't blame him. Do you blame him? No.
Yeah.
Wow, so
he was amazing.
So you were down front. Did you even know who Hendrix was at the time?
There were a lot of people had already gone home.
Yeah.
When it started, I was way up on top of the hill, and I heard that Star Spangled Banner.
Oh,
man.
My God.
And I started walking down the hill, and eventually I was right in front at the fence.
Wow.
Looking up at Jimi Hendrix and those guys. I think it was Buddy Miles was playing drums, I think.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man.
Did you have any idea what you were witnessing?
Well, I was back then. I said, "Oh my God, I'm seeing Hendrix."
So you knew Hendrix was Hendrix then. I mean, if he was the headliner of Woodstock, or was supposed to be, then obviously he was already a superstar. I mean, I was 9 years old at the time, so I don't really remember a whole lot about it.
Yeah, I was 15, but I only had a 15-year-old brain. You know, it wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't the all-encompassing worldview of, oh, my God, this is a great big deal. It was like, this is cool.
Where were you living?
Cool.
Where were you living at the time?
Michigan.
And you at 15, you hitchhiked from Michigan to Woodstock, New York, to Bethel, New York.
Well, God, you know, I was in the bus station in New York City, and I was trying to get a ticket to Woodstock, New York.
Uh-huh. Oh,
somebody said, that's not where the festival is, man.
No, it was at Bethel, right? Wow.
Yeah.
No, that's kind of cool.
This is where it is, and I luckily got on the right bus. And the day before, it wasn't as crowded, you know. And
right.
I went, and I remember leaving. I was with someone else who was a friend of mine. And I wonder where she is these days. She ended up getting married out of Woodstock.
Wow.
Yeah, she ended up moving to Boston right away. But anyway, we went out to dinner. You know, we were working there, and I was supposed to be helping put up fences and stuff. But we went out to get dinner. We went into town. And when we came out of that restaurant, diner, it was kind of a diner, the road was jammed.
Wow.
You've seen pictures. Wow. The road was jammed, and we had to walk. And if it all started moving, we'd hop on the back of a car, and somebody in the car would hand out a thing of wine or something.
Or
and
joint.
Then when they stopped, right. You get off and walk on. Yes, I got dosed.
Ooh.
In that walk.
Ooh.
back to Woodstock. Yeah.
Wow. Well, you should write a book, Dave Johnson.
Yeah.
If you can remember. All right. With that, we've come to, a blog. Seeingtheforest.com is a place to start. That's where Dave Johnson blogs. You can find him on Twitter at DC Johnson. We'll keep up the discussion, and we'll be back tomorrow with Howie Klein. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Nicole. I love being on.
I love having you on. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye. See you tomorrow. Bye.